St. Petersburg, welcome to WPLP.
Young man, let me tell you something right now. I come down here every year, and I've been coming down here for 24 years, and I in my entire life have never heard such an outrageous, outlandish person on a show.
Well, thank you.
You should be reported to the Chamber of Commerce or the FCC. I am going to write letters to the superiors.
Oh, sir, that's not necessary. Sir, that's not necessary. I have already received accommodations, from the Chamber of Commerce.
I spent $800 to get down here. Alice is listening, and she is not very appreciative of what you've been doing here.
Who's not very appreciative?
Outrage.
Who's not very appreciative?
She's very upset.
Who's upset, sir?
She's very upset.
Who is upset?
My wife is very upset, and so am I.
Well, why didn't she call?
I don't like this at all. You've got no business talking about us this way. We go to the vegetable markets almost every other day.
I'll bet you do.
I never squeeze fruit. I've spent a lot of money.
How about vegetables, though? I've
spent a lot of money down here. You have no right speaking of us in this matter. I had my car service here. I've had my car service here twice since I've been here.
I know, sir, and every time you come down here, about 40 of us have to have our cars serviced.
You've got no business talking about us in this manner. We are supporting you people. Don't you understand? If we quit coming down here, you'll be out of a job, sir.
Right.
And I will report you, and I've heard about you before in the trailer parks. What's so funny about that, buddy?
You mean my fame has spread to the trailer parks?
What is so funny about living in a trailer park?
Nothing, sir.
I'm living in an Airstream right now, and I don't think it's very funny about the...
Wait a second. You come down here from where? Where was it, Iowa?
I've come all the way down here.
From Iowa?
Come all the way down
dragging
here.
A trailer? Dragging a trailer? And you're not even staying in a motel. And you think you're supporting me?
I am supporting you and your service. You've got no...
Sir, there aren't any... Airstream factories in Tampa Bay.
I fought for you. And I come back to this country, and what do I have to listen to? Some young hippie. Some young hippie such as yourself.
Well, sir, I can well understand why you would think that a 41-year-old man was a young hippie, but that's neither here nor there.
I bet you've got a convertible and a surfboard hanging out the back. I bet you do.
No, sir, it's a Woody with a surfboard hanging out the back.
On drugs, too.
On drugs?
Are you on drugs, sir? I bet you use marijuana and all this kind of stuff. I bet you live a very loose lifestyle.
What kind of a lifestyle?
A very loose lifestyle.
Very loose.
I'm listening to you every night, and you've got to remember this, that we might stay here.
Oh, my God! You might stay here?
I might report you. I'm going to report you to the
Trailer Park Association.
I'm going to write management a letter, and you won't like it. You'll be very afraid.
Sir, my name is Lassiter. That's Lassiter. Care of the Lassiter Broadcasting Company.
You're in trouble now.
No, sir, I own the station.
You're in trouble now.
No, I own the place. My mother bought it.
And I've heard about the way you talk about our president, and I think it's a disgrace.
Why don't you write him a letter?
I've written him many letters.
Hasn't done you a damn bit of good, has it?
I don't like the way you talked about Jim and Tammy Faye Baker. Me and my wife stayed at the resort for 2 weeks, and we had a lovely and various enjoyment time.
Would you park your Airstream there or just stay in a hotel room there?
We stayed in a hotel room
Figures.
There. And we're going to go back, and I will help support his ministry.
Great.
You have done a disservice.
Could you leave tonight?
God, I have never heard anyone lambaste the ministers in a nation such as this in my entire life, sir.
Well, you're lucky you've heard somebody do it now.
I'm going to write a letter to the manager. I'm going to write a letter
to... Mrs. Lassiter, Lassiter. That's the manager's name, Mrs. Lassiter.
In the phone book.
That's right, in the phone book.
Now you're making me scream, and you're making me scream and holler.
That's one of the things I do best.
Sir, why do you carry on in this manner? This is a very, very outlandish and monstrous tactic you're using.
You got it.
This is not right. Why don't you help the old people? Why don't you help us?
Sir, I'd like to help you out. Which way did you come in?
Sir, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to write you a letter. and you will receive this letter, and you won't like it. I'm going to write more than one letter. I'm going to write the station. I'm going to write the Chamber of Commerce. I, too, will write the Chamber of Commerce, and the Chamber of Commerce will be flooded with letters.
Will you put a lot of kisses at the bottom?
I bet you have a surfboard, don't you? I bet you wear short cut-off jeans and sandals and beads and probably wear sunglasses all the time. And I bet you haven't shaved in 3 months.
It's closer to 3 years, sir.
Last time you had a shave?
About 3 years ago.
Are you married or are you living in sin?
Little of each.
You continue to outrageous.
Well, thank you.
You continue to tell the whole world, the whole public here, that you're living in sin, that monstrous. I give 10% of pay to the PTL club, and I will continue to write to PTL.
Oh, Jim's living in sin.
And I am going
to send me 10% too?
I am going to write a letter to the PTL club and tell them what you've been saying about them. And you may hear from the PTL club.
Sir, we've tried to get them on the show before. They won't come on.
You're in trouble now. You're in trouble now.
Well, sir, I guess I'll just have to wax up my board and go with the flow, you know?
I'm going to stay here. I'm going to call the police.
We're all in trouble now.
I'll call the police on you. I mean it. I'm serious.
Whoa there. You're going to call the police?
I'm threatening now, sir. You've got me upset. I'll call the police. I swear I'll call the police. Do you want me to call the police on you?
Do I think it's funny? Are you kidding me?
Be afraid, aren't you?
You pulling my leg?
Sir, I'll lock you up. I'll have you locked up, sir. Well, you can't do this.
This is the greatest call I've ever had in my entire career.
You think you're...
It's probably the greatest call ever to talk radio.
You think by laughing that you're showing me that you're not afraid. You're all afraid. I know it.
Oh, God.
I've got five letters to write, sir.
Five letters now? Oh, my goodness. You got a busy night ahead of you.
I'm going to start right now.
Okay.
Have a bad night, hippie.
Real Racing USA, live from the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East in Bradenton, Florida. I'm Rick Angies.
I'm Bill Green.
I'm Jack Smith, and it's noisy in this place tonight.
How's everybody doing tonight?
Man. Yeah, man.
Got Bombers over in the corner. Let me hear the Bombers.
That
was lame.
They're all drunk.
Totally.
Mikey, put them to shame. Come on, let me hear Mikey Amo and Junior and Senior.
Yeah,
okay. We got Casey Caudill in the house, Cody Pitts in the house. We got the Bombers. We got all kinds of stuff lined up for tonight.
I think the Bombers are toasted already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and Rick and Susan from Fast Times Productions.
The Purple People Eaters.
You guys are always here, though.
You're
supposed to be here. You skipped us last week. I'm kind of disappointed.
Rick, them are the Purple People Eaters.
Purple People Eaters. Well, Jack, if people didn't know who that was in that intro we were doing earlier on the intro to the show, that was the Mad Dog himself, Bob Lasseter, man.
That was our tribute.
The Airstream, Mr. Airstream.
that was an awesome phone call.
Yeah, Lasseter passed away last Friday, 61 years old, kidney failure. But he was definitely the man.
He's probably, for my money, he's the best radio on-air personality, entertainer I've ever. I mean,
and he covered the gamut. It wasn't
like
he was nitpicking.
It's like I made this comment yesterday, and I really believe it. You know, he didn't want a memorial service. Bob is a kind of a different kind of fellow, and he made sure he did not want to have any of that sort of stuff going on. And I thought, man, if they did try to have one, there's no place big.
Fit it.
There's no place big enough for this guy.
Absolutely not.
How long had he been in the Florida market? Because he started in Florida, went away, came back. He'd been here for
many
40 years, 50 years,
20. probably 15, 20 years.
He was on 970 when it was the only station around, I think.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know.
WSUN, too.
Yeah, AM.
WSUN.
Get off my phone, you subhuman.
No doubt, man.
He was not a shock jock guy, though. He was a real deal.
He was straight up, man. Straight up.
He was a real deal guy.
Guys, we got to talk about the tragedy we had this past weekend up at New Smyrna. Sheriff Chris Daniels was killed in a charity race. You know, I've won that first race, the first race
yes,
they
you
ran.
Did. Certainly did.
I won that first
charity
race.
In a cheated-up bus given to you by Don Nerone.
Was that the bus that had all the metal in it because it was the old bus from the prison?
No, that was
Hialeah.
That was the Hialeah disaster.
I finished dead last in that one.
They weighed too much. Anyway, it's an amazing tragedy to have it happen as it did when you're out with a bunch of folks trying to do something for charity. You're trying to raise awareness about some special cause or whatever, and this is just this really sucks. I mean, to have this happen is just unbelievable.
It's heartbreaking.
The official Florida Highway Patrol report said approximately 10 minutes into the race, Sheriff Daniels' bus was in a second bus driven by the Seminole County Sheriff Don Esslinger, made contact as both vehicles were racing from turn 1 to turn 2 at the south end of the speedway. After the impact, Daniel's bus began rotating in a counterclockwise direction, ejecting Daniel's through the front entrance exit door onto the surface of the speedway. Now, this is pretty hard here. After being ejected, Sheriff Daniels was immediately run over by his bus and then a bus that was being driven behind him by Sheriff Esslinger. Sheriff Daniels was wearing a Department of Transportation approved helmet and other protective gear. The condition, operability of the bus and driver usage of occupant restraint system installed in the bus. Now, you know, I mean, when I did it, when I raced the bus up there, all it had was a lap belt.
Everybody
it's still under
much,
investigation.
Everybody had pretty much gone to 5-point harnesses, though, especially in that front seat, since Sunshine wouldn't let you run without it. Sunshine Speedway when they started their
that may be true
around.
There. That's a whole other topic. We'll get into it another time.
It's a tough, situation.
New Smyrna Speedway closed for the week, and they'll be closed this weekend. The offices are closed, and the track will be closed.
Yeah, it's just a sad thing altogether. Feel for the family. Feel for the people that were at the racetrack, the fans in the stands that witnessed it. Fortunately, it was kind of towards the backstretch, so a lot of people didn't get to actually see the actual...
Yeah. The only people who would be able to have seen it would have been people sitting in those far turn one seats, and not many people sit down there.
So we'll keep on that story as it progresses. Better news though, we had Frank Kimmel on the show. Remember Frank?
Yep.
$10,000 to win bomber race.
Guy's out of his mind, but he's won 68 ARCA races.
68
right?
ARCA races. They just ran at Rusty Wallace's. Iowa Speedway.
He's a really cool guy. We had a good time with him. We had a good, very good
time. He finished 32nd in the race, had an overheating problem. But Frank Kimmel did what Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty couldn't. Won an 8th championship.
There you go.
7 in a row. And this was his 8th championship. So he surpasses Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty as the most championships in auto racing.
What's ARCA stand for?
American Racing something or other.
How about Automobile Racing Club of America?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Something like that.
Well, that's good. You do your homework. I didn't. I know it when I read it.
I have trouble remembering what, you know.
Juan Montoya. Now, that's a story there, right?
Yeah, the guy that Michael Falk couldn't talk to because he was hung up with women and
all the
babes. And media.
What did I tell you, though, about minorities coming into racing and suddenly all the attention going to them?
How you call Juan Montoya a minority, I can't deny, because he comes from the highest echelon of racing.
I understand.
Bill's got diversity on the line.
You talk about glitz and glamour for Daytona and all that stuff. Nothing compares to Formula One. These guys are crazy. Well, Juan, you know, has joined the stock car ranks now. They got a new name for Juan.
What?
Juan Bubba.
Why is that?
They call him Juan Bubba. He's a stock car racer now.
Oh, okay. Juan Bubba.
Juan Bubba. Okay.
In Spanish, I think the word for Bubba means elite or something. I remember somebody telling me that about the other big guy.
Does it?
Yeah.
I didn't know
what the word is. I don't know what the word is.
I didn't know Bubba was a Spanish word.
No, it's not, but whatever it translates into.
Dave Mader, another guy.
The third
that we've had on the show. Won at Pensacola Friday night. and then one at Mobile International Speedway Saturday night. $20,000 he won.
Jay Middleton, it's called racing, dude. It's racing, Jay. Racing.
That's about $50,000 in a month.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's tell him what happened.
Well, Mader scored back-to-back wins for the weekend at Mobile with a last-lap pass on Jay Middleton that had the fans on their feet cheering for more. Middleton dominated the race with Mader in tow, leading more than 80 laps, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Mader gave him the old bump and run and got Mader. By, took the checkers
Mader
by
work,
a tiny margin over Middleton. You know what? Jay was exasperated. Now, Jay's one of our homegrown people down here in Florida. Florida, Lake City. Won the first Florida Pro Championship. One of the Florida Pro Champions. The last one, maybe. He was exasperated by Mader's move.
Not yet, Bill.
He said, I'm very disappointed. I had a dominant car and just expected something better out of Mader than to, on the last lap, jack me up, carry me sideways down the straightaway, and dump me off in the next corner.
Hey, it worked.
Jay couldn't hang with our bombers, man. Real quick, next week, man, TBARA in the house, brother. We're going to have
early.
Them packed in. Yeah.
Early day. You got to get here early to get a good parking spot, I bet.
No, I know what Tampa. I know what TBARA stands for, too.
Tabara?
Tampa Bay.
Yeah, buddy.
One thing, though, I got to let everybody know, Dave Steele won't be in the house.
Nope.
He's at the PRA show in Georgia, but we will be getting a phone call.
There you go.
Or we will be calling.
There you go.
And last news.
Wing Sprint. That's right.
Tampa Bay Area Racing Association.
Wing
I do
sprints.
Know that. One real quick note, though. You heard about the newest NASCAR star?
The motorcycle kid?
Ricky Carmichael.
Yeah.
Yep. 15-time champion of Supercross and Motocross motorcycle racing. It is expected. As a matter of fact, the news conference should be going on right now in Las Vegas.
Remind me about that later in the show.
Yeah, didn't Tim McCready just sign a development deal with somebody too?
Well, he's joined at MB2 team,
right,
which Mark Martin just signed. Sterling Marlin will be there. Joe Nemechek's in that team. So that's going to be interesting, man. Motocross guys.
We're going to come back at some point later in the show. I hope we have time to come back to that Carmichael thing because it relates to something else that we're involved in here.
And David Reagan will be taking over the driving of the number 6 that Mark Martin runs.
See, now look, if Rush...
What's he shaking about?
If
over?
Rush Limbaugh can do it and eat potato chips at the same time, why can't I tap my pencil on the
I was just
table?
Trying to help because between that and the table, you guys are making all kinds of
rattles. That's because he doesn't
it
have
sounds
any.
Sounds like we're in a moving vehicle.
So, tonight's show, we're going to talk to Mike Smith. Actually, we're going to really do it this time. I know we've been saying
Mike Peters.
Mike Smith.
I was trying to figure out where he was
going.
Yeah,
no, that's a whole different thing. We're going to talk to Mike Peters, the owner of Ocala Speedway here, in just a few minutes, a very few minutes. He's up there running practice at his track right now. And we have Casey Caudill.
Casey Crash Caudill.
Yeah. And we have
Cody Pitts. All the bomber guys. And we're
going
to save that towards
Cody,
the end.
Get out of my way, Pitts.
You two guys have actually raced each other, haven't you? Or did you move up before he did? Yeah, okay.
The other thing, man. Did you hear about the kid?
Who are all these guys?
I don't know. Those are bomber guys.
I don't know, but
that's the guys north of the bay in the corner.
Is that why they're sitting over there by themselves?
And these are the guys south of the bay at this table.
Yeah. I know the corner is making plans to take over something.
We don't have
something.
Chairs and microphones, but it's going to be interesting.
We need a security guard.
Security.
We've got one. He works
here.
It's called Fast Time Security.
What else we got before we go to break and then come back with Mike Peters?
I think you covered it all, guys.
Did you hear about the kid who wanted his father's racetrack? We've been having a lot of things I've seen on Carnac message board about kids winning at their dad's racetracks, booting other drivers, causing wrecks, all kinds of stuff, starting on the pole. I just haven't seen that much talk about this win.
Where was it at?
Iowa. Stephen Wallace won the ARCA race.
Won at dad's racetrack.
Wreck
wonder
Montoya.
If he has unlimited practice time.
Six drivers... exchanged the lead 9 times. Wallace, Montoya, Foster, Craig Kinzer, one of the Kinzers.
Yep.
Keselowski, and of course our own Mario Goslin. he led a little bit of that race, but I just haven't seen the talk about it. I know Montoya wasn't real happy about it.
But they'll bring up John Jr. or they'll bring up Travis Varnamore.
We
might win a race.
No, we didn't talk to we were going to have Steven on the show last week, and we had a foul-up, and we've talked to his people, and his people have talked with our people. We've all talked to each other's
we're
people.
We're still bouncing off walls.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to happen.
Apparently, it'll take a little while.
Well, actually, we told them that we didn't have time for him this week because we had the bombers.
And
that's
next week, exactly right.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. We blew off Stephen Wallace
that's
this
right.
trip.
And
next week, too. We told him no next week.
No next week. And in the week after,
we might.
I got.
I don't know. We'll
sharpen your Sharpie, Stephen.
I'm getting.
We're coming after you.
I'm getting. I got a show in the works the week after Halloween.
It's break time.
Yeah, we got Halloween coming up, though.
The week after Halloween, we got something special coming.
All right, we're kicking it off big. Don't go far. We'll be back with more Real Racing USA right after these messages from our sponsor.
Hi, I'm Paulie Milam, driver of the number 42 Sprint Car at East Bay TVARA, and you're listening to Real Racing USA with Bill Green, Jack Smith, and Rick Adjies.
Have you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else? Then the number you need to call is 1-800-332-1992. That's the number for Q Auto and Injury Attorneys. Leonard A. McHugh and Associates can help you achieve the justice you deserve. You've seen Leonard McHugh racing in the parts truck series, and Q Auto and Injury Attorneys have sponsored racing divisions at tracks across Florida. Trust your case to the sponsors of the Q Motorsports Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. And Q Auto and Injury Attorneys don't just handle injuries resulting from motor vehicle accidents, they also handle all types of injuries. So whether you've been injured as the result of a defective product, a motorcycle accident, or medical treatment, or nursing care, or of course an automobile accident, give the Q Auto and Injury Attorneys a call at 1-800-332-1992. Remember, if you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else, call McHugh or call for more information about the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. 1-800-332-1992. Q Auto and Injury Attorneys.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 to St. Petersburg, Dayton, Andrews Dodge.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
4th and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely no skill playing real football.
Not so good at catching.
Imaginary catches. Imaginary touchdowns. Next up, an imaginary score with an imaginary woman.
Good imagination.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh Swami of the sidelines. You may come in dead last, but you're always first with us.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
CarNac.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, CarNac.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact-finders combing the short tracks of America, CarNac.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit CarNac.com online at KARNAC.com. Or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. CarNac.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA, live at the Snook River Grill. Danny Toler bringing us back up.
The guitar man.
Put a towel under that thing or something.
He's making more noise than three kids.
Put it on your notepad or something.
Hey, listen, we got a big one coming up this weekend. This weekend, we haven't even figured out how we're doing it yet, but we're going to make it happen. Woo-hoo. 12 hours of Ocala. Nobody's thought of it. Nobody's tried it. And Lord help me, if it works out, we may have to do it every damn year, and that could be horrible. But
I got
to
do the first 6 hours of DeSoto.
And it could be interesting. But we've got Mike Peters on the phone. Mike, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good, guys. How are you?
Hallelujah, Mike. We finally hooked this one up.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
12 hours of Ocala. What drink were you drinking when you possessed yourself to do this?
Hey, man, we wanted to come up with something that was fresh and new and a challenge to the drivers. And they're chomping at the bit. We got 4 or 5 cars out here right now practicing for Friday night.
Are they running 2 and 3 hour races to see if they can go that long?
Well, different teams have different strategies. We just got done talking to one set of drivers that said they're going to run every 45 minutes. How they figured that out, I don't know. But that's their plan of attack right now.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like it could be a big winner in a big picture of people and getting the word out about Ocala, because it's starting to trickle across the country that there's somebody attempting to do a 12-hour local short track race.
Is there really? I didn't realize that. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a great time. We're going to be barbecuing a bunch of pork for the drivers Friday night. It's driver appreciation night at the same time. We're just going to turn it into a big festive evening for everybody.
Hey, listen, whenever this thing's going to start at midnight and go until noon, mm-hmm. What's the object of the exercise? Are we just going to count laps totally and see how many somebody can do? Are we doing it by a flop clock? Or we got people, do everybody scoring their own car? What's
the
deal?
It's being scored by transponders, and whoever completes the most laps in 12 hours is the winner.
How much they win?
$5,000 to win. It's
$5,000 to win?
$5,000 to win. Three drivers per team. They can pit as often or as little as they like. Come in for a pit break and have a smoke break, a restroom break, a fuel break all at one time, or let the car cool off for a little while.
Now, are you watching against anybody like putting in this super huge 55-gallon drum gas tank or something?
22-gallon fuel cells the max.
Okay, 22-gallon.
Yep.
how long does a normal, let's say, a street stock run on a 22-gallon tank of fuel? Can they go an
about
hour?
100 laps is pushing it.
Wow, and that'd be about half hour, a little better.
Yeah.
So that's a bunch of fuel stops.
Yeah, bunch of fuel stops.
Yeah, so how did you come up with this, Mike?
Lou and I were just sitting around talking one day and said, hey, wouldn't it be fun to have one of these? And he looked at me and said, let's do it. Let's try it. Let's see what happens. I said, then let's do it. Let's try it out.
Cool.
12 hours, though. Now, what are your people thinking here? I mean, how have the employees and the people that have got to work those 12 hours responded?
We've got a really good rapport and relationship with the staff and employees here, and they've all been excited and been wanting to sign up for extra hours and everything to work that weekend. I don't really expect, obviously, to have a grandstand full of fans at 4 o'clock in the morning. This was something that I wanted to do for the drivers and present a new challenge for them. So we're going to take what we got. You know, we've encouraged people to camp out, bring tents, bring sleeping bags, bring their RVs. Let's have a good time. And if you want to go home Friday evening, come back out Saturday morning and watch the end of the race.
So what are the rules for the cars? I mean, is it any kind of car? Or
any car, minimum of a 4-point roll cage. 22-gallon fuel cell, fuel injected or carbureted is okay, and a 70-series tire.
So if there was some lunatic that wanted to run a sprint car, he could do it?
And I believe we have one showing up, to be honest with you. We also have a minivan.
Now, sprint car, unless they got the big tank on it, I don't think they can get a 22-gallon fuel cell in the back of them, can
no.
they? So you're going to start more often.
There's going to be a whole hodgepodge.
You get a lot of laughs, in a short period of time.
Yeah, right now we've got 15 drivers signed up, and I'm anticipating close to around 30.
Wow.
That'd be awesome, man.
Based on the responses we've gotten so far and people calling and just checking on the rules and wanting to know when they can have their car here to go through tech. And
I got one question about a rule, and that would be, can you change drivers? Can you run 4 hours and then have somebody else run 4 hours and so forth?
Yeah, that's part of the team. They can come in and let's say after 4 hours they can come in and do a driver change and then run another 4 hours and then put their third driver in. Or they can change every hour. But it's those same three drivers that have to drive that particular car.
Oh, okay, so it's limited to three, but it can't. Okay, got it.
So for the most part, there'd be no reason to have a lot of beating and banging going on.
No, you're trying to get laps in.
Yep, that's it. That's not going to be the name of the game in this.
So I could bring my Riviera.
There you go.
4-point roll cage.
3-man team right here.
You don't have a 4-point
roll cage.
Well,
you guys are coming Friday night, so you may as well drive in it.
Well, yeah, if you can get us a car, we could think about that, because I'd much rather probably do that than have to sit up. Although, I'll sit up there and talk for the first 4 hours you drive, and then you come up and talk, Rick.
I'm not driving anywhere for 4 hours.
It's going to be a great weekend. Of course, Sunday we're going to follow it up with the third leg of the Triple Crown and also a 30-lap sportsman race here.
Mike, what is the times for Sunday's events in the afternoon?
Sunday's event, gates open at 1, racing starts at 3.
Wow. Now, your
qualifying is at 3?
I believe so, yep.
I was going to ask if there was qualifying or if it was the three legs were counted as points and if you're going to be starting on points by the last day kind of thing.
This is asphalt.
Yep.
I know, but give me a hard time because I fall back on my dirt.
Mike, this is your first year, diving into track ownership. How's it going for you?
It's going fantastic. I'm really looking forward to next year. Scheduling-wise, this year we really didn't have a lot of time to really put some creativity into it. Next year's a new ball game. I really wanted to concentrate on the basics for the first year, and that was being consistent with our calls on the track, being consistent in tech. I think we had the if not one of the best tech men in the state. As far as concessions and customer service stuff, I really wanted to concentrate on the basics. We have relatively basic menu. We've had requests for more stuff for next year, but my opinion and philosophy was if we can't just do the simple stuff the right way, then there's no point in adding more stuff to the menu at this point in time. So those were our focal points for the first year, and it's been a real success.
Mike, my next question is, how's Lou doing?
Lou's doing excellent, and no matter what was wrong with Lou, he'd tell you that anyways.
In case people don't know, Lou just suffered a heart attack not that long ago.
Lou Trimley.
Yeah. He didn't have a full-fledged heart attack. He had all the symptoms of it. His blood pressure was rather high, and we called 911, and he went to the hospital that evening. And he took a couple days off, and he's been back and being the same Lou since.
Always good to get somebody checked when something like that goes on. We appreciate
absolutely.
Your diligence that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to ask you this then, in this first year of operating Ocala, have you found that once you've learned to work with the drivers and the fans and your track, how are the traveling series treating you as they come and go? Because I know sometimes they can be hard to get along with and they have requests for concessions that sometimes just are kind of outlandish.
I haven't had any issues at all. We haven't had, we've had a limited number of series come through this year because most of the series were booked when I purchased the track last year, so there wasn't some opportunities there to have some of the series here. The ones that have come, I haven't had any issues or problems at all.
So, Mike, you've been doing this now for about a year. What has been the biggest surprise or the most unexpected aspect of this enterprise?
I think what has been one of the most intriguing things is finding the pulse and finding the key ingredient to bring people into the stands. That's been one of the most fun and interesting things to me. is trying different things off and on throughout the year and actually weeding it down to almost a science. You know, if I push this button and this button and this button, this is going to be the result. You know, it was, I'm not saying we figured it all out in the first year, but through trial and error, obviously we've learned throughout the year that this works and this does not work.
Where do your people, your fans in the grandstands, where do they come from?
I think predominantly the Ocala and surrounding areas, really.
Yeah.
You know, and Ocala's always had a big racing community and a really supportive group of people. For whatever reason, a number of them, I think, took a hiatus and took some time off from coming to the track and in the past because of whatever reason. And a lot of it has involved shaking the trees and getting those people back out to the speedway and showing them that this is a really fun thing here and it's really affordable and it's a great place to bring your family on Friday night.
What sort of things in these things that you tried, and that you said you were having fun trying to get the fans back into the stands and stuff, what sort of things, without giving away any trade secrets, have happened and worked for you? What kind of things have actually worked?
Well, it's just all the basic stuff that I'm sure most of the promoters that have many more years' experience than I do have tried over the years, and they've probably tried 1,000 more things than I have. But just from the basics, from all the way down to the newspaper, to the television, to the radios, to the free tickets, to the posters, to the, you know, to the community involvement and sponsoring different things in the community that were going to give us a lot of visibility. You know, just a whole hodgepodge of stuff that we've really, really focused on this year. And it really paid off. You know, like I said, there are certain things that we know are basically ineffective, and there are certain things that worked out really well for us.
Now, have you had a big reaction from the local community and the businesses that you've been dealing with and the fans that already come to the track about this 12 hours of Ocala?
Oh, yeah, everybody's excited about it. Everybody's excited. They think we're a little crazy, but they're all intrigued and want to come see what's going to happen.
See Ocala banner.
See what's going to take place and see what car is able to do this.
Hey, the banner expressed an interest? Have they going to do any coverage of this thing at all?
Yeah, they should be here not as late. They don't usually come out as late, but they'll be here early on in the evening.
I got a question, too, if it might help you. You might want to drop the price of cheeseburgers from, like, 2 to 4 in the morning, and then maybe you'll sell some more, get more people.
You got bacon and eggs, brother.
You got to quit selling beer at 2 o'clock?
Yeah, that's right. It's Sunday.
You have to quit selling beer at 2 o'clock?
Yes, we're going to.
Yeah, no,
that's good.
It's probably a good idea. Probably
yeah.
A good
absolutely.
Idea.
No coolers in the pits.
No coolers.
Right.
In the...
No. Yeah, that's a definite.
Yeah, you need a DUI checkpoint out on the track.
No, we don't. We'll shut it down.
Should be interesting.
Hour.
Should
Mike,
be interesting.
What are the future plans for Ocala Speedway? What do you got planned?
Future plans are to continue to re-emphasize the basics. Make sure the cars follow the rules. Making sure we consistently make good calls on the track. I'm going to reiterate what I said at the beginning of the year last year at the drivers' banquet that we had for all the drivers. I want every driver that drives through our pit gate to feel like they have an opportunity to win a race at Ocala Speedway. And the only way that anybody's going to feel that way is if we do our job at the track.
And Friday nights are going to continue?
Yes.
That's good.
And you got involved actually initially as a driver, is that right?
I drove all last year, yep.
Yeah. Amazing stuff coming out of Ocala Speedway, man. I hope you keep it up. I know it's hard. We've seen a lot of folks come down the pike and buy tracks, and then by year three it gets that some sophomore slump and you get worn out about it, but hang in there. It's an awful lot of fun for a long time.
It's very rewarding. And I'll be perfectly honest with you, it gets a little frustrating at midnight on Friday nights, you know, when some nights go very smooth and some nights, you know, obviously people let you know that they don't agree with a particular call that you made or in tech or what have you, you know, and you just take it and tomorrow's another day and, you know,
yeah. Hey,
when you realize you made a mistake, you admit it and you apologize for it and you move on.
Mike, the solution to that part of the frustration, all that, here's the solution to that. In the Godfather, there's a funny line about he had a lot of buffers. You need a lot of buffers, man, when you're the owner.
It all depends on how you look at things.
Yeah.
I'm in the trenches kind of guy. I'm not a standoff, watch everybody else run the show kind of guy. I like to be in the trenches with my employees. And I felt as though I needed to keep myself open to a degree, to hear what the drivers had to say. I wanted to hear their feedback. I wanted to know what we could do better. I wanted to know what we could do different. And the only way to really achieve that is to listen to what the fans are telling you and listen to what the drivers are telling you. Not secondhand, not thirdhand. Talk to them. See what you can improve. See how we can make it a better place.
Well, we'll be up there to see you Friday night, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. This is going to be an adventure for all of us.
We're going to have a great time.
Cool.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
And we'll be, I guess we'll be getting back in touch with you tomorrow to work out some logistical details. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, you got some inns with some hotels today. I don't think I could stay and not sleep a little bit when it comes to afterwards.
We do. The Ramada Hotel here.
No, I kind of had in mind like Embassy Suites. You don't think
you asked if I
had Gala, brother.
Out with a local hotel. That's our trap.
I don't care where you put us up at, man. We appreciate
bad.
It.
That's probably the closest hotel, and we do have a corporate right there through Ocala Speedway.
Mike, it was finally great to hook up with you, brother.
Thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We'll talk to you real soon, man.
Ocala Speedway.
Yeah,
get there on Friday and stay till Saturday. How cool is this going to be?
That's going to be great, man. It's going to be a wild time.
Oh, man. I don't know. I've never done that long, so we'll see what happens.
Have to see. It'll be a long time for me.
You think I babble now? Wait till about...
Yeah, but I got 6 hours of DeSoto before that.
Oh, it'll be fun, and we're gonna drag Scott McAllister out there. We're gonna drag John Birdie, Mr. Excitement, out there. And right now, we're gonna take a short break, and we're gonna come back.
I hope the Wolfman's still gonna be there.
He'll be there. We'll come back in a few minutes with Casey Caudill.
There you go. Don't go away, folks. More racing, real racing USA coming after this.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop Coffee Pourer.
What do you do with a master's degree in art history? You get a nose ring and pour coffee for a living.
Pour it on now.
Why is it called a latte? Maybe because it costs a latte, and it takes a latte time to make.
A whole lot of latte.
Someone ordered a cappuccino? Step aside. Let the man who works the milk foamer take over.
Step aside.
Sure, you charge $5 for a cup of coffee. It's putting that tip jar out that takes real guts.
Yeah.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, guru of the ground roast. It's not the caffeine that gives us the buzz, it's you.
Mr. Fancy Coffee Shop, coffee.
Bud Light beer, Anheuser-Busch, Collins, Colorado.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Have you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else? Then the number you need to call is 1-800-332-1992. That's the number for Q Auto and Injury Attorneys. Leonard A. McHugh and Associates can help you achieve the justice you deserve. You've seen Leonard McHugh racing in the Parts Truck Series, and Q Auto and Injury Attorneys have sponsored racing divisions at tracks across Florida. Trust your case to the sponsors of the Q Motorsports Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. And Q Auto and Injury Attorneys don't just handle injuries resulting from motor vehicle accidents, they also handle all types of injuries. So whether you've been injured as the result of a defective product, a motorcycle accident, for medical treatment, for nursing care, or of course an automobile accident, give the Q Auto and Injury Attorneys a call at 1-800-332-1992. Remember, if you or someone you know experienced injury or death caused by someone else, call McHugh or call for more information about the Q Motorsport Family Student Racer Scholarship Program. 1-800-332-1992. Q Auto and Injury Attorneys.
Carnac.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Carnac.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact-finders combing the short tracks of America, Carnac.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Carnac.com online at KARNAC.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Carnac.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
Hi, this is Rick Bristol, driver of the number 30 Toyota Industrial Equipment Florida Lift System, Southern States Toyota Lift Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Ah, brother Rick, talking nice about us. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are Real Racing USA at the Snook River Grill, 2505 East Manatee Avenue in Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. Lower Tampa Bay.
Lower Tampa Bay.
Lower hey,
upper Fort Myers.
Where are we at?
We're in Lower Tampa Bay.
Where are we at?
Nose been chewing on his toothpick.
Yes.
He's been chewing gum. 5 days, brother. No cigarettes.
Like I told you earlier, man, you better line up.
Your teeth will look better.
No, you need to line up a weight loss program now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I gained 40 pounds.
I told Johnny he needed to get a bigger tower.
That's what they say.
That's right.
That's what they say. People start.
Where are we at?
The Snook River Grill.
We're at the Snook River Grill.
And where is it at?
2505 Manatee Avenue East. Bill already did all of this.
Oh, you already did this?
Yes.
All the way from Daytona Beach, Florida. Fast truck, fast kids. Driver number 33. Casey Caudill is with us in the house.
Welcome, Casey. How you doing?
Along with his dad,
I'm
Kelly.
Great.
You doing great?
Yeah.
Just good or great or better or worse or whatever. How was your last race? Where did you finish in your last race?
I think it was fifth, sixth.
Fifth or sixth?
One of them.
What's been your high point of the year so far? What's been the best race you had?
Second place.
Where was that at?
Charlotte County Speedway.
You're going to keep giving me short answers, ain't you?
Yeah,
I'm giving him a hard time.
Yeah,
welcome to the show. Though I know it's kind of new and getting out and talking to thousands of people, but don't let that bother you.
Have you done stuff like this before?
No.
8,332.
Okay. You got to start somewhere, and you're in a good place to start. Just relax and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. A lot of people have started with us. Believe it or not.
Yeah. We've broken in thousands of kids. It seems like, I know there's only
stop
hundreds,
that, Bill. That's not a good thing.
Whenever they get their chance to go talking to the media and stuff, because this is a big part of racing. When you get up to the big guys at NASCAR level and stuff, the media is half the game. If you can get over that, man, you got it made. Yeah. We know you got the talent.
Jeez. Casey, tell us how you got started in racing.
There you go.
I started racing whenever I was 7 years old in quarter midgets, and I just started the fast kids this year.
So what got you into a quarter midget, though? I mean, how did that come about?
My dad started racing about 2 years before that. And
what was he racing?
What kind of cars? Sportsman.
Oh, he's a sportsman car? Dad, you're here with us. What made you think, well, let me get him a car and let him have some fun too, or kind of see if he really likes it?
That was about the time that Mark Martin opened up the quarter midget track in New Smyrna. And that's about the same time that I was kind of just playing around with just having some fun down there running super stocks. And Casey caught wind of the quarter midget they had sitting at the grandstand there for sale. And he just kept, every week we kept going, he kept sitting in that car, and we kept going back, and he kept every week asking me to get him a car and get him going. So finally we did it, we made the move, and we've never looked back since then. He really took on to it pretty quickly and loved it, and that was what he wanted to do. He didn't want to play baseball or basketball too awful much.
That's cool.
Track up there at New Smyrna that Mark Martin built, that's an awesome little track. It is quick.
It's well-proportioned and nicely banked, and it's a nice little track to teach people.
What did you – I mean, you're up on the bigger tracks now. You were at DeSoto not too long ago. How did that prepare you for that?
driving a quarter midget. How did it get you prepared?
I mean, did that help you, or was it a whole complete new learning experience?
It was basically a brand new thing.
Was it?
So yeah. When you climbed out of the quarter midget straight into the truck.
Yeah.
Where was the first time you drove the truck? What track?
Auburndale.
Auburndale? So when you climb, I mean, was it like starting over, or did you
basically
take? But did you take some of your racing experience on,
yeah,
in the quarter midgets with you?
Yeah.
So you learned a lot, like racing with people and around people and stuff.
How was your good? How was your success in the quarter midgets? Were you winning races? Were you finishing
up
front?
Yeah, I was winning races every now and then.
How long did it take to get to where you felt comfortable enough to get up there in the front and really take the guys on that were running up front?
3-4 years.
Really? Took a little bit to get the. I don't know if it's nerve as much as it is just learning enough about how the car turns and so forth. I'm sure quarter midgets are pretty quick when it comes to.
The last race I saw you in was at DeSoto, of course, and you were racing with the pro trucks, basically the fast car pro trucks. Those guys pretty much have respect for you out there because you were racing them, you know, right along with them.
Yeah, my first time there, and I didn't know the line or anything, so I was following them most of the time, and then halfway through the race, I was finally catching on and knew the line and stuff.
Are there any certain of the pro guys that are helping you out or letting you know what you're doing good or what you're doing bad?
Tommy King.
Tommy's been around a long time.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
yeah.
He's been telling me the line, where to let off, giving me just advice.
Now, it was a big switch, I bet, for you, and that has answered a lot of questions in my head about those first few races you had in the fast truck system to where that truck is so much heavier than your quarter midget was. To get it slowed down and wowed down and not run into the back of somebody, it took a little bit of getting used to, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Because that thing was, that thing get hauling down in there, and then suddenly, boom, you run into somebody, and you didn't realize you was getting up on them that quick. But how did you change any of your driving habits and stuff to try to compensate for that situation to where the truck's a little slower to respond to the brakes and so forth?
Well, most tracks for quarter midgets, you don't even let off. So that's a difference. The only time you really use the brakes is going into the pits after the race and on cautions. Trucks, you use them every 3 seconds, you know, going in and turns. And
have you learned to stay on the gas in the truck and just kind of drag the brake,
yeah,
down and stuff? That's cool. It's a technique, a little dance you have to do sometimes to get it around there good. Well, that's awesome. What's kind of like the short-term plan? You going to stay in the trucks for a while, or you got plans to move on up into something else?
I'm going to finish the season out this year. Next year we're going to do Fast Kids, and hopefully in 2008 run fast late models and ASA.
Wow. There you
late
go.
Models. So, Dad, what late do you think? Are... I mean, what do you think about his driving? How it's progressed?
Well, at the beginning of the year, we got the nickname Crash. And that stuck with us there for quite a few weeks.
The C's just went together. I'm so sorry about that, but... It was just me.
But,
it was you, Bill?
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, we, you know, over the year, I mean, the first five or six races, we were kind of in the back of the pack, just trying to figure this thing out a little bit. But over the season, we've progressed, and with Tommy King's help, we've come a long way this year, and now we're able to get up and run with, you know, the Campies and the Kidwells and the Blums and those people that were that were lapping us at the beginning of the year. So we're right up there running with them now, and we've made some great progress this year, and hopefully if we keep that up.
So I figured you'd be really mad at me about some of the comments, because at some point about the fifth race.
People are always mad at you, Bill.
I know, but I said Casey Caudill did it again. He's racing by Braille. He's, you know, bumping into people.
But yeah, but
you said that?
Yeah.
But he finally got it. He got it under control.
But you know what? You know, the DeSoto race, though, I mean, there was a lot of people impressed with your run out there. I mean, the track officials and stuff that I talked to after the race, you were cool-headed. There was a lot of guys out there just losing it. I mean, just looping it and... You know, let's just say you outgrew the Crash monitor.
How old are you now?
I'm 12 right now.
That's what I thought. See, so I mean, you've been running it almost a year already, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, he's gotten a heads and shoulders above where he was, and I know that if he's done that much changing in this shorter period of time, given this time next year, you're going to be right there on the front line.
So, Casey, have you played other sports like baseball? And that's
Yeah, I play rec baseball mm-hmm. every fall, spring, mm-hmm. base or basketball, but I'm usually racing.
So what is it about racing that you like better than doing those kinds of things?
Speed.
Go fast. Turn left.
Well, you could throw a baseball pretty fast, though.
You know, it wasn't yeah. what he said.
Yeah, I wish this was how he said it.
Yeah. There you go.
That's when you needed the video.
On his face. That was awesome.
Speed.
It definitely was awesome.
What's the fastest you've ever been in a passenger car or anything else?
I'm probably saying 110, maybe a little less.
Cool. As you get to late
speed.
Models, yeah, you're going to love it.
Sweet, we need to edit that one out and just use that.
You can see
speed.
Wait till he'll come by in a late model with his head out the window.
Casey, who's some of the sponsors on your truck, brother?
I got American Services and King Chassis.
All right, man. Anybody else you want to thank who's helping you with the truck, crews, mom and dad, whatever?
Yeah, my dad. My mom just usually watches, checks
she worries
stuff
about
out on the internet about me. My brother, he supports me, comes to the racetrack with us.
How old is he?
He's 15.
Does he race?
No.
Does he?
He likes slow stuff.
He's a baseball player.
He's a baseball player. Okay.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Cool. Now, has mom ever brought you anything from the internet or anything else and gone, look what they're saying about you? Or
no.
Is she pretty cool about that? She just takes it and lets it go.
Just looks at it and, oh, that's pretty cool.
Do you get on the internet?
Oh, yeah.
Do you read the message boards and stuff? This is
yeah.
something we were just talking about.
Yeah. Who really
a lot
it?
Of people forget that, you
it's
know,
there.
There's people your age on, like, the chat rooms and message
yeah.
boards and stuff.
Yeah. Cause
I check it out every now and then.
Do you? Yeah.
Because it's been right. pretty cool because there's cool. been a few folks go on there and take the time to say, hey, did you see Casey Coddell the other night? He did really great in that race and didn't get in any trouble and really had a good finish and so forth. So people are noticing.
Now that you're not talking about him,
well,
people talk nice about him.
I was talking nice about him.
Drive it by Braille. That's real nice.
That's down. That's
Casey, man, thanks for being on the show with us.
Three spins in the same race.
We hope to hear more good stuff about you. Keep in touch with us, brother.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Yeah, all right.
We'll be asking you for your autograph.
All the way from Daytona Beach.
You did
that's a
good.
Drive.
You did real good, man. Real good. Real proud of you, man.
Now get
all
you,
right, thanks
get
a lot.
Wait a minute. Do you got a website up already?
We did, but I don't think it's together right now. But
so you need to talk to Jack.
We need to talk to Jack. Because this is one of the things we think
Jack,
that youngsters your age, especially at 12 years of age and just getting in the seat and getting some good seat time, you've got a big jump on a lot of guys that are 18 to 20 or just getting started in racing. And you need to get those kind of things going because getting the momentum rolling, getting your abilities up there, and getting your name out there are two of the three of the things that you really got to work on. And you did a great job here. That's for sure. Thanks, man. All right, we appreciate you dropping by and seeing. How about a big hand for our man Casey Coddell?
All right, Casey.
I'll drop the crash from now on. I won't say it anymore.
You better not.
He's a pretty good kid.
You going to take a little break, Bill? Or
yeah, we're coming back after this, I guess, and we'll be talking to Mr. Cody Pitts.
All right.
Circle Track King.
Real Racing
from
USA,
Auburndale, Florida.
Live on the Short Track America Network.
Where the hell's Auburndale?
You used to work there.
It's no wonder everybody says nobody beats a Dayton Andrews Dodge deal. I mean nobody. They must sell 200 cars, trucks, and vans to break all sales records. In order to do that, they'll guarantee $1,000 if they can't beat any deal you bring into them on any new or used vehicle in stock. Every new Dodge drastically reduced. Every used vehicle drastically reduced. How about no money down? Take advantage of these great offers with lender's approval. $1,000 guaranteed in includes rebates, and they reserve the right to buy back the vehicle from the selling dealer to give to their customer at a lower price. Ask about the $4,000 minimum trade-in allowance. Check out the Dodge Caravans, the Durangos, and the Neon. This week, Dayton Andrews Dodge is offering the lowest prices and also no money down. Call 321-0500. See that the Dayton Andrews Dodge way beats all the other ways to shop for a vehicle. 22nd Avenue and US 19 in St. Petersburg, Dayton Andrews Dodge.
McAllister Sports Management is a full-service firm specializing in all aspects of motorsports communications. Specific services include website development, program management, sponsorship acquisition and development, public relations, promotions, corporate hospitality, and strategic marketing. We can design, produce, and distribute autograph cards, feature stories, and arrange photo and video opportunities. We help you maintain a continuous contact with local, regional, and national media. For more information, log on to McAllisterSportsManagement.com or call 352-804-0078.
Carnac.com is your one-stop racing news leader. From the local ranks of the Saturday night short tracks to the hundreds of national series covering America, Carnac.com has you covered. Serving the southeastern United States with dozens of reporters and fact finders combing the short tracks of America, Carnac.com brings you the hard-to-get inside reports about what's really happening at the track. Visit Carnac.com online at KARNAC.com or listen to Short Track America online internet radio for the latest news hot off the turns. Carnac.com, where racers go that want both sides of the story.
Hi, I'm Anthony Campy, driver of the number 81 Waterside Realty Royalties Fast Truck, and you're listening to Real Racing USA.
Welcome back to Real Racing USA. Live at the Snook River Grill, 2505 Manatee Avenue East, in Bradenton, part of Tampa Bay.
Yeah, we're
the Tampa
here.
Bay area.
It's close.
Bill, why don't you introduce our next guest?
Oh, man, what can I say? This is the man himself from Auburndale. He has done just about everything you could do in fast trucks, fast late models, fast anything. He comes out of Auburndale, Florida. Now, Auburndale has been a really good breeding ground for some great drivers.
There's a lot of guys
and kids and ladies and gentlemen that come out of Auburndale. But Cody's done some awesome things. His mom and dad have been very involved in Cody's racing career so far and have always given him good equipment and put a good head on his shoulders from day one. Cody, welcome to the show. First off, don't get too big-headed on me being nice about you. But welcome.
Thank you, Bill.
Put that really close.
I heard him, I know,
but he's very soft spoken in reality. He doesn't get upset. Do you really get upset in the car sometimes just going to scream at people?
Oh yeah. I get pretty heated in the car sometimes.
Do you?
Oh yeah.
Because you always seem so mild mannered outside and away from it a little bit.
When you're in the car, it's a whole different ball game, and but sometimes when I get too aggressive and bumping and I spin out a couple guys and you go to the back, you know, you get pretty mad.
Bang on the steering wheel.
Did you take some heat ever because your mom was a scorer for so long when you raced in the races you were racing?
I don't know.
No? People never
probably
say
not.
She gets very upset at you when you're racing and or other people sometimes. So she's very verbal about it sometimes.
Some other people think that my mom's cheating for me and scoring, that
impossible.
She's doing some stopwatches and stuff and cheating
impossible.
In the scoring, but
too damn,
she ain't a cheater, we ain't a cheater.
Too damn many people looking at them score sheets, brother. It is impossible.
Yeah.
But it's awesome, though, that you got the family involvement. Now, how did you get started in racing? I guess we should start there. It would be the smart thing.
I got started in racing when my dad sold a street stock and then bought us all yard carts. And then I got to learn, you know, the gas pedal and the brake pedal and steering wheel and
how
to drive a go-kart.
Those are very important pedals.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
How old were you?
I was four.
About four. Now, did you really sell your street stock and go out and buy everybody something to play with at home?
Right. Well, I had a street stock that I raced in Auburndale, and my brother and I both raced there for a long time. I sold my street stock and bought yard carts, built a track in the backyard, actually, and the kids got to race around on the track in the backyard, gave out some of my old trophies for little races we had in the yard. And once they got a hang of it, it was time to sell the yard carts and buy a racing cart.
Your dad looked like Dale Earnhardt, man.
What's a yard cart?
a cart you ride in the yard, brother.
You got roll cage up over your head.
Tires on it.
Turf tires?
Two-seater go-kart.
It's the same thing we ran in.
Oh, okay, I got you.
You know, ran those races down there in the Sarasota Salute Racing thing. But that's awesome. But now you're 4, you're 5, you're getting to be 6. So did you get a big old, you know, sprint cart or something? What'd you wind up in?
No, as soon as we turned 6, we got the racing go-karts, and then there's a track out at Lakeland, and then we went and raced
Sprocket
there for a
Speedway.
Little bit. Sprocket Park Speedway. And then we tried Dirt Devil for a while, and I got one win and a bunch of second-place finishes, a bunch of them, and then we ended up third place in points, not far behind second.
Wow. That's
awesome,
pretty cool.
Running, man.
That's
yeah.
pretty cool introduction there, because it's not there. I mean, there's a lot of dads out there who do a lot of things for their kids, but to give up your racing and back off of racing and then let your kids start going racing maybe and enjoying them, that's an awesome way to do
you
it.
Moved up to the kids club, okay?
At the kids club at Arbondale. There, even Levi Hobbs that raced in the kids club at Arbondale, he's in the fast truck now. It was real fun. It was a step to get me into the full-bodied race cars and, you know, learn everything. That it was hard in a go-kart to go in there to know how far ahead people was, and in a go-kart I could pretty much touch the guy beside me. You know, if he was driving me crazy, I'd slap him in the head or something like that. But
physically reach out and
I like
touch
this
him.
Kid. Yeah. I like this kid.
And then I couldn't do that, and I had to learn, you know, there was a wall. I didn't have, you know, the walls in the go-karts, and learned where the wall was, probably hit it a couple times. When my dad in the passenger seat of the car, he probably got scared a couple times.
Oh, wait a minute. That's right. You got to get in there and go along.
Two-seater cars, yes, and you have to have a co-rider. You have to have a co-rider that goes along with you. And for a while, we learned real quick that the fastest way around the racetrack was taking me out of the car and putting my 15-year-old son in the car with him. And when he was racing with me, he would always, you know, he would be scared of me and want to do well for me, and he kind of intimidated. So when I put my 15-year-old son in the car with him, then he got where all he was doing was showing off. And he was going out there and having fun and laughing. And when the kids would come off the track, both my boys smile so wide as about to bust.
Did you try to intimidate your brother with the wall?
What's what's your brother's name? What's your brother? Kyle? Kyle, how's that wall look? How's it look? I can see it now.
You got it, exactly.
So how important was that, though, to – now, we've talked to a lot of kids and there's a lot of kids in racing now, and a lot of them are doing good. But how important was that to take that step instead of going from the go-kart straight into the truck to – into the kids club thing?
Oh, it was a big step. You know, like Cody said, going from a go-kart, when you're in the go-kart is just real close to you and your fender's there, you can see your tires and everything, to a full-bodied car. You know, it was a stock Dodge four-cylinder car, like a Dodge Daytona is what we had. It was a big step to be able to learn the gear shifter, the clutch, all that stuff that we didn't have.
But what I'm saying is, like, a lot of these kids go right from the go-kart into a full-fledged truck. Whereas
I think they need to spend time
in a four-cylinder
stock or a mini stock or something like that to be able to learn the full-size cars. And it's hard to jump from a 5-horsepower Briggs go-kart to a 400-horsepower full-size 2,800-pound truck.
Cody, did you find that going from into that progression, did you learn more about how to take care of the vehicle and so forth? I mean, because the kids' club make you do some things when it comes to inspections and knowing your vehicle.
Yeah, and you in kids club you couldn't go 3 wide or anything, and they would have seminars on some Sundays that would put cones up around the track and show you the fast way around the track and try to help you learn about the track and driving the car and stuff.
Awesome. I know that's a great little series, and the kids club was like 10 to 14 year olds, if I remember right, something like that. I don't know exactly.
Something like that. I believe it. They dropped it to 9 now. It's
9.
Like 9 to 14.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool way to go. It's a nice.
How many late model races have you won?
I won two.
Two
wins and 9 top tens, or 9 top fives, and all top tens that we've raced.
Yeah.
Haven't finished out of top 10 yet.
Who's the toughest people you've raced against?
Sean Bass, he's a good driver, and Spencer Taylor.
Got to ask
you. And you told me earlier you're better than Sean.
I'm better than Sean. I'm better than both of them.
We just got that on the record.
There you go.
They're close.
The Polk County Posse
close.
Has been overtaken. Okay.
Bill, clip that because they're going to be on the show pretty soon.
He kind of jumped to the late models, but I wanted to know, when you went from that Kids Club and stepped into your first truck and the first time you strapped into it, rolled out for practice wherever you were, probably Auburndale, what did you think? What did you feel like?
It was a lot faster, and I loved it, you know, going faster, you know. You could actually get on the gas and it would spin the tires, but in a little four cylinder car, you'd get on the gas and it would, you know, it would just barely go, but the truck was a lot funner. It handled better, and it was just a lot funner, faster.
In all of this racing, when did you have your first big wreck that you realized that, hey, I could get hurt at this?
At New Smyrna Speedway, there was a girl driver, Amanda Gogol. And I was passing her down the front straightaway, and either if I come up or she come down, or we both come up, she come down, whatever, and she turned me in the wall, and my mom said that she could read the roof numbers on my truck when I went by on the wall.
Wow.
And what was your thought in that truck at that time?
Let's put another tire on it, and let's go back. Let's go back racing.
Rock and roll, brother.
Would you say you're a patient race car driver?
He's learned.
No,
it.
He's learned not at a little this bit. Point. I'm aggressive and go to the front now.
Yeah. He's been known to make it three wide pretty early when you drop the green flag, but then he'll settle in somewhere and usually get a little more patient now because he knows that you got to be there at the end. He's learned pretty quickly.
No doubt about it.
It's awesome.
So you're in the late model. I mean, the progression, what has the progression been? How many years has it been since you went from kids club to truck to late model?
I was 10 years old, I think, when I went to the kids club, and then I think we did that for a year, and I think I actually was 12 when I first went into the truck, and then I think the first time I drove the late model was 14.
14.
And then I just turned 15 here in May.
So anybody giving you a hard time about being in a late model or anything?
I'm laughing because he's got about 7 years experience or 6 years.
Right.
He ain't got his license yet.
I got my permit though. It took me just about 3 weeks ago. I finally got my permit from May.
No tickets.
No tickets.
So where are you looking at? What is your plan for like next year?
Next year we're looking to get Autoway to sponsor us to go to ASA next year and to build a new car. Howell cars are awesome, and we're looking to build a new car and go to ASA and run for a championship over there.
We're looking for Autoway to sponsor us, aren't we?
Yeah, but
we got
how are you keeping Autoway happy, so to speak? I mean, they can just keep putting money into a race team, I realize, but what do you do for Autoway? What do you go out and do for them?
We take our car over to their store, and we put it out front, you know, show it and sit by the car and meet some people that comes in to buy cars, you know, and maybe it'll be up by the roadway and, you know, cars passing by, they see a race car, and, you know, they want to stop in to see a race car. Maybe they'll buy a car while they're there.
Do you have fans? Any fans that follow you around, talk to you?
I've heard of a couple.
Besides mom?
One of our friends that helps my uncle, he says, I got only one girl fan. It's his niece or something. He says, I only got one girl
you
fan.
You got a website, though, right?
Yeah, www.codypitts.com.
And you got a fan club site on there? You need to have Cody Pitts fan club, man. Come on.
Yeah, we got the where you can sign the guest book on the website. And some people signed on there.
Well, there you go. You should send them cards and letters. Let them know you appreciate that, too. But it's great to hear that you go out and actually do things for the sponsor, because that's a lot of things people tend to forget. They get so wrapped up in the race season, they forget you need to take care of that sponsor a little bit.
How do you rate? Do the kids at your school, do they all know you're a race car driver then? And
most of them do, and then some of them don't even really know what a race car is. All they know is NASCAR, and some of them ask, why am I NASCAR now?
Because you're only 15.
Say I'm only 15, but they say if you
can't even go to the anybody at school ever ask you for your autograph? I mean, I know you sign them at the track.
Yeah, I've had a couple that was being sarcastic and wanted my autograph before. Yeah.
You take, like, your autograph cards into school and
You know how you get back at those guys. You know how you do it? It's whenever they have the day, whenever they have, like, career day or something, you bring the race car, fire it up, drive it around the school, park it, and say, this is my career choice. There you go.
Cody, who's some of your sponsors, man?
We got Autoway, Chevrolet of Tampa, AutoZone of Auburndale, Broken Pores, Surplus Building Materials, they're also in Auburndale, Francisco's Custom Paint and Body, that's in Lakeland, and Phantom Graphics, they did the graphics, which is an awesome car.
Beautiful car.
Yeah,
beautiful
it is. It's always been a pretty car. You guys are always taking care of it. But I'm impressed about the Autoway thing because they are in Tampa. They sell vehicles in Tampa. Yet you travel the state racing their car, and so they get the name out there. But there's not too many people running from Ocala to go to Autoway down here. But it's just the Autoway name in general. It's just awesome that you can get that kind of backing at your level and do a great job for them too, man. Let me tell you. I mean, you've been doing an awesome job.
Yeah, and another thing, we can, with Autoway, if we do such a good job, and now that next year if we look at ASA, we'll be going to all the southeast and the southern Texas and stuff, we can try to get Auto Nation, which is all over, and try to get them, and they can even give us even more, and then it'll be like every Autoway store.
My name is Cody
one.
Pitts. I am Auto Man.
Oh. I'll tell you what, man. I think they'll get their money's worth out of this one.
Ain't no doubt.
That's it. That's it, man. We appreciate you stopping by. We're glad you drove over from Auburndale, brother. I know it's not a little trip, but it's a nice one.
Thank you. I also want to thank Fast Times Productions. They're here filming this right now, and they do an awesome job filming the races at the racetrack, and they do all kinds of interviews, and they're real nice people.
All right, brother.
Thank them.
All right, buddy.
Cody, excellent job, man. It's great having on your show.
Wow.
Thank you.
Hope to talk to you again real soon,
right,
man.
Thank you.
Man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Cody Pitts.
Woo! Check it out. Hey, let's take another short one, and we will be back with some interesting people in the house.